The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Guardian Radio. Today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. It is my pleasure to be with you on this January 27th. Another Tuesday is upon us, and we'll be with you up until the 4 o'clock hour here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Of course, our text line, our phone lines rather, when they do open, 323-623-2543-16, 325-4259, in the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Our text line, Guardian Radio text line, is powered by BTC. And of course, that's 422-4796, 422-4796. And of course, standard text rates do apply. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com, and we're also on Cable Bahamas 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. So today, our good brother, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, he was supposed to be here today, but he had something come up, and he won't be able to be here today, so he'll be with us again next week. So I apologize for those of you who are expecting him on today's show. He sends his apologies, but life happens, right? In lieu of him not being here, we're still going to have online. Still allow people to share what it is that they may want to share. But I want to open up today's discussion talking about corruption, right? The Bahamas, as a country, When we look at how we are viewed globally, right, we're not generally considered highly corrupt compared to global standards. All right, they have a ranking system. There's a transparency international corruption perceptions index. It's a long sentence, right? Transparency International Corruption Perceptions Index. And anyway, we talked about this a few months ago. In 2024, our score of 65 out of 100 ranks 28th out of 180 countries on this Transparency International Corruption Perceptions Index. And that puts us on par with the United States. Of course, you know, that's the gold standard around here. So, you know, we don't even want to be 27. You know what I'm saying? We want to stay right next to the United States. We're tied for 28th with the United States on this list. We are considered a stable democracy. Of course, corruption does exist. And one of the things they point out is corruption being seen particularly in government procurement. So these bids that are supposed to go out, or bids that do go out, they're saying that's where some of the corruption is. Of course, immigration is also where they talk about corruption, and then law enforcement, all right? The Bahamas consistently ranks in the top tier for the region, often trailing only Barbados and some others in the Caribbean for low perceived corruption. All right. Despite a relatively good global standing, a 2019 survey found that a high percentage of citizens considered government corruption a significant issue. I wonder how that is today in 2026. We have a election looming. Do we trust the government? Do we trust the police force? Do we trust immigration? Do we trust schools? There seems to be a high level of untrust. Some problem areas. The U.S. State Department reports have highlighted concerns regarding corruption in the foreign direct investment approvals process and the public procurement, as we just talked about earlier. It also talks about our country has been slow to fully implement certain reforms, such as the fully enacted Freedom of Information Act, which we talked about all the time, and the establishment of an Office of Ombudsman. All right. So this idea of how we as a country are seen around the world, I guess that's a good report card. We are 28th out of 180 countries. That's the top tier. But how do we feel? Right? We saw the story surrounding the police officer who was convicted with the crime that he was convicted of regarding drugs or whatever it was. We saw the other policeman who he got caught up with them Google glasses or something. He didn't know they was recording them, you see. And what had happened was that wasn't supposed to happen like that. But the tourist or whoever that was recorded him, and it wasn't a good look. It's not a good look. I find that most of what we are suffering from in the country is really just trying to get through survival mode. A lot of what we're calling corruption is based around the economy just not being what it needs to be. The value of money not being what it used to be. When you talk about our parents, I was born in 77. My father was born in the 40s, right? My mom in the 50s, right? When they finished university, if they did go, because that's another thing, you didn't necessarily have to go to university to have a home and take care of a family. There was a generation where A-levels actually meant something, or O-levels actually meant something. Of course, today's children, they don't even know what A-levels and O-levels are. You know, we have BGCSEs, and we complain about that. And the fact that just the average is somewhere around a D average, and then we don't really fairly discuss the grading scale and the fact that it has about 7 or 8 different letters in the grading scale, no matter how many times they explain it. But as we look at today's reality versus yesteryear, you know, sometimes when we look at what the generation before us was able to do with regard to buying a home or just buying a property, most people in today's generation will not own property in the Bahamas. That's sad to say. Most people, and these are educated people, these are people who are going to go to university. These are people who are going to finish high school and get some type of education, whether it's trade school or junior college, university, what have you. Very, very few of them are going to see opportunities to actually comfortably purchase land and comfortably get a home. In many instances, without the economy of the underworld, let me just call it that. Let's have a conversation today, right? Can you have one job? Can you survive living off of one job? Most people, the answer is no. You cannot survive off of one job, right? It's amazing how many people want to quote unquote serve in the government for such a long time, right? Career politicians, which means they, in essence, get a free pass in many ways and live off the people in a lot of ways. Let's just call it what it is. So you got people who fighting to get two terms so they could get this pension. I don't know how many other jobs you could go on and only work for 10 years and come out with the type of pensions that our government officials or those parliamentarians would come out with. But this is what we are dealing with, right? As we look at this idea of corruption, about even in the church, right? The comedian Drewski, for those who are familiar with him, or those who are familiar with the skit that he did regarding mega churches, right? I watched it. I thought it was funny. But I didn't think it would get the backlash or even a response that it got, because I thought what he was doing was just so obvious, right? But people seem to be under this delusion that the way we see church today is how we used to see it generations ago. That's unfortunately not the case. I remember when I was growing up, if a funeral was passing, man, of course, there was a lot of superstition around there too. You know, people would close the curtain if the funeral was passing the house. If you were driving, you would pull over, you know, and you allowed a funeral procession to pass. People would stop doing what they were doing and literally acknowledge, you know, that there's a funeral procession passing by. Today's generation, I have no clue as to what that is. Right? Today you may have who are riding in front of the funeral procession to make sure people get out of the way, because they'll let you sit in traffic for your last ride. You understand? So there's a lot of apathy. There's a lot of apathy. We've spoken about this before. The book of Matthew chapter 24, it talks about this idea of people having their hearts waxed cold. In the book of Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This idea of iniquity, or what some would call corruption, this anomia in the Greek, G458 in the Strong's, this anomia, right? The condition of being without law, because you're ignorant of it, or because you're just simply violating it, right? Contempt and violation of law, iniquity and wickedness. So when we look at what has become of cousin Erin Green, she always crying on the radio, but how people drive. People don't respect the rules of the road. Last week we talked about the state of the financial institutions in this country. In fact, Brother Tinker is still trying to get his money. Right? He's still trying to get his money. I just spoke to him before the show. He couldn't be here. He still hasn't gotten his money. For those who listened to that show last week, Tuesday. So it's been over a week. So, well, definitely over a week. But since we spoke last week and he complained about it, he's still fighting to get his money. All right? So when we look at the reports or how we feel in country about what is going on, right? Of course, the police force, I would say exactly what they're saying too. You know, one bad apple doesn't make an entire police force corrupt. I agree. I also want to say that there's more than one bad apple. More than one bad apple in the police force, in the government, in the churches, right? In the schools, there are many bad apples. And if you know anything about spoiling fruit, if you don't remove the fruit that is spoiling it literally releases a gas that begins to contaminate all of the other fruit. And so if we live in a society where I see and I don't say, because I don't want you to see me, we find ourselves in this predicament of Matthew 24, verse 12. So this idea of anomia, illegality, right? Violation of law, wickedness. But now when we talk about a violation of law, are we only talking about man's law? Because ultimately, yes, man's law is important. You should follow the someone said they just watched the Drewski skit. It was funny. All right. We have this reality of following man's law. Yes, that's true. You need to follow the laws of the land. If the laws of the land say drive on the left-hand side, drive on the left-hand side. If you're supposed to stop at a stoplight, stop at the stoplight. If you're supposed to do the speed limit, do the speed limit. That's true. That's true. However, there are also universal laws, which we know as the laws of Ma'at, right? These laws of Ma'at were reinterpreted as the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments we know are of African origin because the person who has been given credit for bringing these Ten Commandments to the world as we know it today is none other than Moses, who in the book of Acts chapter 7 verse 22 is said to be learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, of course, this Egypt is not talking about the Greek Aegyptos, but rather the Het Kata. All right? The Het Kata. Now, why is all of this important? This is important because I've said it before, but I want to make sure I reiterate it before we get too deep into the show. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, all right, if I go to the NLT, right, that's another translation outside of the King James. If I go to the NLT, right, the New Living Translation, it says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, the fact that Satan is the god of this world is already, that's a big deal, right? But this idea of being blinded, this idea of being blinded. See, the Drewski skit is proof that everybody ain't blind because people could see what's going on, all right, in the church. People could see what's going on in the police force. People could see what's going on in immigration. People could see what's going on in the government. People can see what's going on, right? But this idea to be blind, to make blind, in the New Testament metaphorically, to blunt the mental discernment. Aha. To blunt the mental discernment. They say darken the mind. To not be able to discern good from evil. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, they say the man has become as one of us, knowing good from evil. Right? This all has to do with what they call the fall of man. All right. We go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Not good from evil, but good and evil. Do we know good and evil? Or are we blinded? It says, "And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever, we can kick him out this garden." So this is a prophecy that continues to repeat itself. And we keep trying to use the same antidote to solve the same problem. And we're getting the same results, which is indeed insanity. You understand? And so, as we look at the state of the, I want to hear from you, and I'm getting some text right now, right? Because if we're not honest about what it is we're up against, we'll never ever really get to any real solution. This text says, "Good evening, Uncle. One bad apple won't spoil the bunch, but couple bunches of bad apple will destroy not only the bunch, but the entire country." We know it ain't one bad apple. We know it ain't one bad apple. You understand? We know these things happening in groups. Right? And again, the bigger question for me is not merely that people are doing what they are doing. The bigger question for me is the conditions that are in place that make it so easy or maybe forces your hand, as some people may feel, to do, quote unquote, what they got to do. People got to do what they got to do. You understand? In some instances, if you follow the rules, you will be left behind. That might sound crazy, but imagine, okay, let's just look at traffic. You got some intersections or some bottlenecks where if you stay on the line, you're going to stay on the line longer because there's some other people, especially in the dual carriage, that are going to come up on the side and keep going in the front to continue on their way. If you stay on the line, you're going to just stay on the line much longer and sneak in the line. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm not saying it's the right thing. It's what's happening. Right? Now, you could take that analogy and you could run with it anywhere, right? People are having to make decisions that makes them challenge their belief system in order to survive. I don't even want to go to the end of the spectrum where people are selling their bodies right now. I don't even want to go to the end of the spectrum where parents selling their churn right now. To make it. You understand? There's an opinion piece I was reading in The Guardian. It was yesterday. "The silent crisis, managed desperation, the new middle class." Right? The idea that to be in the middle class meant that you were stable. You could if the car broke down, you could literally fix the car, or you could rent, right? Things could happen and you could function. But that's not necessarily what's happening in today's society, right? I'll get to that in a second, right? This text says, and I'm coming to you right now, caller, "With regards to the Defense Force officers, a drowning man would hold on to a straw." Wow. "If he was serious, he would have been required to give names and workplaces of all corrupt persons in government and the security forces. Since the government wants to clear our country of corruption, he may want to disclose certain information to the government." Now, let me say this. If he called names... If he begins to call names, if he begins to say to the authorities what they want said, some names potentially will be called that I ain't gonna say we don't want to hear, but it could really transform the entire system. I'm guessing. I'm with you, Dexter. If they seriously want to do it, they should let him call names. Let's go to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, The Family of Violence, 242-300-5720. Call you live.
Good afternoon, Uncle Sarah.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you, man?
I'm well, man. I'm well.
Good. I'm cool. I was listening to Guardian, and I didn't hear the story about where the Bahamas is going to be sending another 16 Defense Force officers to Haiti, the state of Haiti.
You said you didn't hear it, or you did hear it?
No, you have that. You don't have that story.
I look for it. I look for it. What about it, though?
Yeah, I mean, don't you think we have enough problems in Nassau?
It's only 16.
Only 16 can't do nothing.
But they're going to help. They're helping other countries that help in Haiti.
Yeah, uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle. You know, when I look at what's happening there and basically the CARICOM group and trying to bring Africa or Nigeria to basically quell the Haitian problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so dumb, like retarded, because the mere fact of the Bahamas, our closest neighbor is the United States. They have a military.
Right.
All right? And common sense would tell a retarded prime minister or solve that problem if only they go there and say, you know, we need this, we need that, and you're whoop-a-bop, and problem solved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas can't help. I mean, it's so stupid because 16 men, what they doing? They can't do nothing.
They're part of a larger contingent.
Yeah, but the bottom line is America has the appropriate military, Air Force, bombers, whatever they need, carpet bomb the place, whatever they need to do.
America and that old. You think America ain't an idiot?
No, what I'm talking about, if it does them groups in here, they've been shooting at planes and kidnapping and doing all kind of heinous stuff, right? The bottom line is when you see them doing stuff like that, I mean, America's right there. Let America go in there and just bomb the place and deal with the problem.
Listen,
that problem solved.
I'm glad you don't have the button. Hold on. You just bomb the people. You just kill the people. That's what you do.
That's what you do. That is nonsense. It's just
you just bomb the people. That's what you do.
Man, hold on. Everywhere in the world, look in Israel, look all these other countries. What they have? Haitian ain't better than nobody. When you're doing foolishness like that, that's what happens.
So you think everything that's going on in Haiti is just Haiti's fault?
Because guess what? That makes them feel like, okay, yeah, we bad. We mess up our country. We come in the Bahamas, mess up, and we take that over.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's nonsense, man.
Let me ask you something. I have a texter who wanted to say something to you. They said, good afternoon to the caller. The 16 are likely for intelligence gathering and for logistics planning.
Make a difference.
What you say to that?
It don't make no difference. The intelligence gathering to do what?
Well,
Bomb it.
All right. So what if someone said that about us? Maybe one time the I think that's the governor of Florida was saying, you know, they could just wipe us out. What about that? No? Call it gone. You know, this is the frustration that we are seeing in our country today, right? Let's blame the Haitians. Huh? That's the problem. The Haitians is the problem. I'm not saying that the Haitians are not a strain on our hospitals and on our schools and et cetera. That's true. But again, it's right. When Loftus Roker, the Honorable Loftus Roker, may he rest in peace, my good cousin, was fighting to keep the Haitians out, there was obviously not enough people like him to do that. And now we're in a situation where, quite honestly, you cannot tell who's Haitian from who ain't Haitian in this country. You could be talking to someone who you know all your life, and you never heard them speak Creole, because they don't speak Creole in front of Bahamians or in front of people who don't know that they're Haitian. And that's where we at in this country right now, you know. But corruption, again, corruption is speaking to this idea of let's look at the definition of corruption first, right? corruption of material things, especially dead bodies. The act of becoming putrid, right? Dissolution, decay. Also of the soul, the morals, etc. Spiritual contamination, depravity, wickedness, a corruption, spoiling, seducing, a corrupt condition. See it there? A corrupt condition. While you fighting the point at the Haitians, while we pointing at the police force, while we pointing at the defense force, while we pointing at the church, there's a condition that we are not. And Dr. Amos Wilson, I know I always bring his name up because he's brilliant, and he sees the condition that we're in, and he says, we are often so paralyzed by viewing what's right in front of us. In the caller's case, the Haitians, right? In some others, people's eyesight, the police. In some other people's eyesight, the church. That we don't pay attention to the condition. Now, this is important because this is what happened to Egypt. The same thing that happened to Haiti happened to Egypt, right? We as Africans in this country, Bahamians of African descent, we don't want to ever say we're African in many instances. That's changing, right? But in many instances, it hasn't. And it's because we are still buying into the narrative of our oppressors, right? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, okay? It talks of, we just read that the definition of corruption speaks to a, it speaks to a corrupt condition. It speaks to a spoiling. They use the word spoiling, right? And this is important because biblically what has happened? Last week we talked about how hijacked. Scriptures have been hijacked by the literal, by the Gentiles who are calling themselves the children of God, et cetera, right? In Isaiah chapter 19, verse 13, it says, the princes of Zoan are become fools. And here's an example of us being blinded. We read Zoan, but what is Zoan? We're going to talk about that in a second. The princes of Zoan are become fools. So they weren't always fools, right? The princes of Noph. What is Noph? We're blinded. We don't know because we're blinded, right? The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt. Egypt wasn't bad. It was seduced. Even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. So let's look at what Zoan is. Because somebody was making us fool from biblical times. All right? Somebody was corrupting the condition or the environment from biblical times. This word, Zoan. All right, they say a place of departure. But listen to where this place is. An ancient city of Lower Egypt. Okay, called Tanis by the Greeks. Located on the eastern bank of the Tanitic of the Shepherd Dynasty. Built 7 years after Hebron and existing before Abraham and the dwelling place of the Pharaoh at the time of Exodus. Okay, so the Shepherd Dynasty is talking about the Hyksos. Okay, these Hyksos, they move through scripture, they move through history, they move through our understanding of who a people are. In one instance, they'll be in Egyptology, they'll become the Hyksos. In some other biblical references, they're referred to as the Canaanites. In history, they'll call them the Hittites. Okay? And ultimately, it's talking about a group of people who scientifically would be called Caucasoid, right? Now, what's interesting again, because we're blinded, because we don't know good and evil, as Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 talks about, we don't see these things, and we've become fools. This word Noph, the princes of Noph are deceived. Well, who is Noph? This is Isaiah chapter 19, around verse 13. The word Noph is presentability, they say, another name for Memphis, the capital of Egypt. This capital of Egypt that the Greeks call Memphis is called Het-Ka-Ptah. Het, the house, Ka, the divine African spirit of Ptah. All right, so this was a place it was actually coming from. All right. It's called the Memphite Theology. It's called the Chewbacca Stone. It's the oldest theological and cosmological record on the planet, according to the British Museum. I've been to the British Museum. I've seen the Chewbacca Stone. And they just hang it up on the wall like it's, you know, something that we found one day. And then, of course, they put all of this glass and protection around what they call the Rosetta Stone, which is something that they actually made up, right? But because we're blinded to the condition. So right away, you are told that you're less than. You're told that you, as a Bohemian, that you're corrupt. This even happened after Majority Rule Day. As soon as we became Majority Rule, we were considered corrupt. I'll pull up the, I think it was Ebony magazine. I'll look for it so I can read it. We were called corrupt. As soon as we had the ability to control our own destiny, we were called corrupt. All right? I see the calls coming through. I see the texts coming through. We're going to run to a break here on Guardian Radio today. Again, I am Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Calhoun Ankou Sara. Back after this.
Step inside the John Baptiste Jazz Club at Bahamar, where the rhythm of the islands of the Bahamas meets the soul of New Orleans. Every night, the lights dim, the music swells, and the air fills with that unmistakable energy, the kind that makes you close your eyes and just feel. Savor signature cocktails, curated small plates, and live performances from world-class musicians, all in an intimate, artfully designed space where every seat has a story. Whether it's a romantic night out or a spontaneous evening with friends, this is where you want to be. The John Baptiste Jazz Club, only at Bahamar. Reserve your table now at Bahamar Jazz Club or through the Bahamar app, because every evening plays its own tune.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Calhoun Ankou Sara. Phone lines are lit up. Yes, today someone was asking, I'm just putting some things on the table because I want to hear from you. But if you have something else you want to talk about, feel free. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm well, man. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice also.
The alpha male.
As I listen to your show,
yes, sir.
It's becoming very much educational to me, being an old man, listening to a young man. And yes, I talked to your cousin, Godfrey Enius, this morning, and I tell him you're a brilliant young man.
Wow, thank you.
Last week, Tuesday, you had an interesting guest on, Mr. What's his name?
That's Dr. Rudolph Tinker.
Yes, Mr. Tinker.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on today, but he had something come up unexpectedly. He'll be on next week again.
I felt his pain, and I prayed. I sent one or two up for him.
Yeah. You know, he still ain't got his money, right?
Yes. No, I heard you actually began your show.
Yeah.
I did hear the show.
It's crazy.
But, Mr. Ankou, did I call it right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
this liberalized world that we now face, and as we can see it in the banks, and we can see it that we pick up from the north,
it basically
invading our country, and you stated a moment ago with the Bible, and you back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why now I'm beginning to listen to you. Mm-hmm. But you raised a topic last week, self-hate with our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see the liberalized world, the self-hate, the burning of the skin, bleaching out their skin, and the eyelashes is so long, and it seems like they're not being educated in terms of the effect these habits can do. The eyelashes, after a while, can blind you.
Wow.
Because of the chemicals that is being used from the eyelash to use to stick on the lashes. Gradually, that will get in your eyes, and you will have some effect from your eyes because it's not natural and it's not nature.
Right.
And to me, this liberalized world is basically, for some reason, it seems like only the black race pick up these bad habits.
Mm.
And if you notice, they have to be blinking their eyes. And sometimes I go at these various places and I see my sisters knocking their head with these excessive wigs that they wear.
Yep.
And I say, why do you do that? Why are you knocking your head? Oh, it is itching. It's uncomfortable. Why? You might as well don't use it.
Right, right.
And you know, being have a little idea in this area. But the nails, most of all, the nails also carry bacteria. Access of bacteria that the nails carry. And I often ask the question, how can one do proper hygiene in personal areas?
My
personal
Lord.
Areas. I don't want to be graphic.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Personal areas. Yeah. How can you do proper sanitation to yourself with those nails?
Especially if it's on both
hands. I that topic that you raised last week, self-hate, you was on point
thank you.
To see how... And we got some brothers with the same values.
Yep.
They want to transform themselves other than what God has already done.
Yeah.
My brother, can you expand again on this self-hate that we see the black race seems to find themselves in?
Yes, sir.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for the call. You know, recently that many of these synthetic hair products, the weaves, the wigs, braiding hair, the ones marketed to black women in particular, contain harmful toxins that pose significant long-term health risks. And this is from a report in 2025, last year, by Consumer Reports. Okay, and they found that all tested synthetic hair products, all tested synthetic hair products contain carcinogens. That means they can become cancerous. And 9 out of 10 contain lead. Now, lead is a very heavy metal that does not go well inside of the human body. So there was a time when they would put lead in paint. And if children got this lead, sometimes children pick up paint chips, put it in their mouth, and it can have a disastrous effect on the human body. But these things are in the products of that are being targeted to our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, our aunties, okay? Our grandmothers, okay? And some men are wearing it too, okay? Why would we go to that extent to want to take on the image of other than self and kind? It has everything to do with this narrative. We talk about race often, right? I want to be clear about what the word race means, because I, you know, there's some. It's a concept. It isn't biological, and I agree with that to some extent. We'll talk about race another day, but I want to read something about race because it speaks to the the question that the caller just kind of brought up, expounded on this idea of self-hate. Let's just be clear about what the word race means. The first definition of race, etymologically speaking, that means the origin of the word race. The word race means a narrative or an account. A narrative or an account. So whoever the dominant storyteller is, they say to the victor go the spoils. Whoever controls the narrative, whoever gives the account, determines what race is. So if we look at the standards of beauty in today's society, which biblically speaking, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it talks about this image of the beast. The image of the beast. Okay? And there's, I'm not just pulling stuff out of thin air. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, this is verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So when you go and you look at the G7, when you go and you look at the strongest economies in the world today, you don't see people who look like us, if you want to know who this beast is. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, liver spots on the skin, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death. And this has happened periodically. So we saw one head get wounded during the last American campaign. We saw one of the popes get shot. We saw Ronald Reagan get shot. It continues to happen, right? But all of these beasts, according to scripture, right, there's an image that comes with it. Now, the way that this image is proffered to us, is propagated, they don't say you're beautiful. They'll say you're professional. So when you go to a job and they want you to be professional, there's, quote unquote, a professional hairstyle that you must have. So if your hair is bone straight, right, and if you have on clown makeup in many instances and these fake eyelashes, there are many institutions today that would consider that professional. Professionalism speaks to your ability to feed yourself. And so when you comes to self-hate, we are directed to hate ourselves in order to feed ourselves. So we are pushed in a direction whereby we are forced to work against our own self-interest. Let me get this call before we go to the break, and I'll continue this conversation more after the break. But caller, let's get you in before the break, because you've been holding.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Greetings to you, man.
Yeah, my brother. Greetings.
Yeah, you know, I like to hear you teach, you know, your theology, you know.
Give thanks.
And, you know, to your last caller, right, and to many of them, you know, they use the word liberal, right?
Mm.
like it doesn't come in many contents.
Mm.
You understand? Do they know that the free trade is a liberal thing?
Well, I think in that, see, so I'm glad you're bringing this up. For example, right, a lot of Black Americans, right, they will vote Democrat, even though the Democrats are considered liberals. But those same Black Americans are conservatives socially.
They liberal too.
But listen to what I'm saying. Many of them are socially conservative, and this is why in the Bahamas,
right,
we have a lot of people who love the current president of the United States because some of his conservative stance on gender and abortion.
Right.
But
then that's because he's against human liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't against economic liberty, the liberty of the rich man,
right,
to oppress us, to control the economy, you know,
right,
against the poor will, the poor man will,
this is
the
what,
black
this,
man will.
Yeah, this is what the press with Trevor, forget his last name, Trevor Noah. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But we are being dictated as to how we interact with Cuba, for example, or other countries. But the same countries they're telling us not to interfere with or interact with, they have a whole base on Cuba. We can run to the break. We can run to the break. You call back after the break, my brother. Keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. We'll be back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. We're talking corruption today. It's an open line. We're talking self-hate again, someone has definitely want us to continue that conversation, so we'll do that also. Let me just get through some of these texts, and I'll run back to the phone lines. Previous texter said that the 16 Defense Force officers headed to Haiti going for logistics and planning. Another texter responded. Let's see. and they made some comments regarding the, let's see here, the D average of our students. I wanted to respond to that, because that's another form of self-hate. Anyway, I'll read it if I find it. This other text says, good afternoon. When I call a spade, America and France have Haiti in the position it is in. As an example to other black nations, that this is what will happen to you as a result if you don't bow to us. Amen. That call is wrong for saying America should bomb Haiti. They are our people. Yes, they have their own homeland. Where is their fighting power that they beat France to gain their independence? The government needs to ban the hair coming into our country. You know, the black African race has been a target and still is a target. Self-hate came from the colonizers who taught black African people to hate themselves. Yes, indeed, texter. This next texter says, basically, biological warfare is in everything, even the air we breathe. We understand some men want us to be natural, but as a man, are you going to walk around without deodorant, cologne, and poison? No. Well, if I know the cologne of poison, I ain't gonna wear it. If I know the deodorant of poison on it, I ain't gonna wear it. This may sound like really surprising to you, texter, but no, I'm not gonna wear it. I read labels, and I find the cologne or the oils. I don't use cologne. I use oils, right? And I find the deodorant that doesn't have all of the additives in it, all right? And if I find that the clothes poison, I'm going to find some clothes that don't have poison in it. Let me continue reading what the text says. And newsflash, it does. Well, yes, there are many things that have poison in it, which is why we should find the alternatives. So instead of judging women, give us a better solution. Also, men only stand up to put women down instead of take your role as providers. Well, you sound like you're dealing with some trauma, miss, and I in your business. But since you brought it out, right, we as men, in many instances, are saying to you, I don't know what you're hearing, but the weave ain't sexy to us. The lashes ain't sexy to us. The bleaching ain't sexy to us. I don't know who telling y'all. I don't know who lying to y'all. I don't know who whispering in y'all ear and telling y'all these Snuffleupagus lashes look sexy. They don't look sexy. I don't know who telling y'all hanging rope all down your back like Rapunzel is sexy. It ain't sexy. I hope you hearing me loud and clear, Dexter. I really pray and hope. We're not putting women down. That's not what this is about. In fact, we are alerting many women who don't know that these weaves and these other attachments being placed on the body have carcinogens in it. There was just a report done in 2025, so maybe you didn't know about the report, so we're telling you that the report exists. So I don't want you to think we're putting down women. In fact, the last show where we did talk about self-hate, I encourage me personally, women to wear their natural hair, to wear their natural makeup. Don't I say don't wear makeup, you know? I actually ain't telling you what to do, period. But my advice, find a natural makeup, okay? Find a hairstylist who know how to manage our hair and teach you how to manage. You say, oh, yeah, I can't manage my hair, I got a permit. We just got to learn how to manage it. You understand? But thanks for listening to the show. And I pray you understand that me and trying to beat up on the black woman, man. Uncle Tell, the last caller, was Malcolm X was a liberal. I don't think so. Every time when I watch his speech, he always exposing them. Same with MLK, and we love to listen to those guys. Well, I appreciate all the texts and the calls. I'll get to the other text in a second after I find it. Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, man.
Awesome. I just wanted to comment on the bleaching,
yeah,
the falseness of the hair, the yeah, eyelashes,
mm-hmm,
and the topical products that we put on our bodies.
Yeah.
So the bleaching, I learned when I was in my 20s that we are not the only ones that bleach.
That's true.
I watched some documentaries. I watched some shows. You have people in Asia, people in Egypt. You even have some Caucasian people around here bleaching. That's the other set, opposite
they
the
even in them,
tan.
They even in their skin tone. They
even in their skin tone. You have Latin people that bleach. You have Asian people. In their country, it's a sign
that's
of,
true,
like, poverty if you have a darker skin tone, right, although they're still considered bright people.
Right.
With the hair situation, there is so much toxicness in our deodorants for women, the feminine products that we use. But like you said, we have to find the ones that they tell us don't have the toxins in it.
Mm-hmm.
We still really don't have a way of knowing. I'm a very natural
you can make
person,
it,
right?
You can make it. You can make
we
it deodorant.
We can try.
Yeah. No, I know people who make it. That's why I'm saying that. But,
yeah,
but,
deodorant. Yeah. You put the little lemon under the arm and stuff that people do.
Kong salad deodorant. Yeah, I got you.
Don't say that.
I with you, though. I know people who did that. I know people who did that. Yep. Yep.
Jesus. It's true, though. It's true.
Yeah.
But even with the hair, if you look back into the old days of Hollywood and even before, black women are not the only ones to wear false hair.
Definitely.
Or false eyelashes.
I agree.
White women, the beehives, all of that. Because we couldn't afford that. They didn't even want us to even remotely look like them outside of assimilating,
right,
to make it seem like, okay, since you're in this country, you better wear your hair straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't start with the weave, but we do have the weave. But as a woman, I have to admit, mm-hmm, when I go on Instagram and Facebook and I see these lashes looking like, you know, palm trees over the people's
exactly,
eyes and this weave down to the ankles, and it's like, how are you using a restroom with the weave down to your ankles?
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing this?
My Lord.
But I have also worn weave. But I try to keep it more natural, like the braids and the plaits, because, again, with our hair texture, we have to have protective styles. We got to show up in the office every day.
Right.
And this is a country where we are fortunate enough. When I moved back home from the States, I purchased a wig, and I never wore it once. I gave it away because I didn't realize I can go on a job interview here with my own natural hair.
Wow.
You can't do that in a state.
Right.
You have to assimilate, right?
Mm.
And the weave is also poison and it's toxic. However, I found that people that I have dated through all my 45 years say they want the natural sister.
Come on.
But
now,
we always see in the eyelashes.
That's what it is.
So it's like, which one do you want?
Mm.
And again, with the topical products, we can make these things for ourselves. We are an island nation, and we know better. We know how to go out in the bush and get what we need.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So I can start a campaign. Because there's plenty of brothers like me who like the natural sisters now. You know what I mean? We ain't freaking out over no weave and perm and things. So we got to make sure y'all know that there's brothers out here.
Well, we need to know because
yeah,
I'll tell you, when I moved to New York,
yeah,
one of the best things that ever happened to me was all the dudes was like, hey, sister, hey, my natural beautiful. I was like, who, me?
Yeah, boy.
Hey, natural queen. I was like, because,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And South Florida, even here in the Bahamas, because we simulate the United States. We're mm-hmm. It's like this is the States. I call Nassau Little Miami. Okay? That's what I call Nassau. This is Little Miami,
wow.
basically.
Wow.
But I've never been treated in such a way than when I lived in New York. And I mean, every culture, every race was like, hey, queen.
Yes.
All right, people were stopping me. I would part my hair down the middle and put two little braids going back. And they would be like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, me?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, you.
So, yes, but hey, me and brothers, we need to hear.
I'm on your team, so I can advocate
okay.
for that. I appreciate the
Thank
call,
Thank you
man.
All for your time today. I appreciate you.
Yes, indeed, man. I appreciate you as well. Yeah, sisters, man, listen, I can't tell you how it makes my day when I see you with your natural hair. And guess what? I still compliment the sisters with the braids, you know. I don't beat people up. Now, if you get one raggedy weave on, I just be quiet. And you got them Rapunzel braids on, I just be quiet. I don't beat you up. You know what I mean? But I encourage you all, man. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Hey, Uncle. Good day.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, man. I also was one of those, you know, Bahamian guy would love the natural.
Come on now, that's what I'm talking about.
Natural, you know, because ain't nothing more beautiful than a natural woman, you know.
Come on.
Especially a woman who ain't lose her skin color.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? Even if her natural skin color is bright, that's beautiful too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if
just
she
be
didn't
natural.
Lose
yeah.
A natural skin color, you see, because.
Yeah.
Being natural, really, you're a little light or you're dark.
Mm-hmm.
You're still natural.
Come on now.
Right? But I mean, you can't no longer be a queen if you rocking a different crown, right? Because the wigs ain't really made from the hair of the crown of no black woman.
No,
right? So they spoiling a lot of instances. They really rocking.
Let me say this before we go any further. You know, the sisters who had to go through chemo, we ain't talking about y'all. Y'all got to do what y'all got to do. So respect, dude, to any sister who got to go through chemo. You got to put on your wig or whatever.
Right.
We ain't trying to beat you up. I mean, just trying the ones that don't have the poison in it because you're ready fighting. So,
right.
You know, big up to your sisters who fighting the chemo. So I just want to say that, too. But go ahead, brother.
Yeah, man, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, we ain't trying to knock, I agree with you, too. We ain't trying to knock no women. We ain't on that.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, we need to let them know that, like, your natural beauty is the key to your beauty, man, you know, because, you know, the word makeup is just what it is. It's called makeup. But black women, in my view, don't really need no makeup. They don't need to make up their beauty.
No, sir.
Because it's natural.
That's right. They got a natural glow.
That's natural. So, but if your beauty is not natural, then you need to make it up. Have a nice day,
man. Yes, my brother. You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, right, we were given the first thing we were ever given by God, by Elohim, by Natoru Elohim, is image and likeness. Before religion, that is not the first thing we receive. The first thing we got, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So that image you're destroying is the image of God or Elohim, or as we say, the Natoru Elohim. You understand? And so we got to be cognizant of the fact that that image, right? Image is what identifies you. And what identifies you gives you access. When you go to the bank, you have to be identified to access your account, right? If you want to access the kingdom of heaven within, the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 21 says, the kingdom of heaven is within. If you want to access the kingdom of heaven that's within you, you have to access it with your identity. You understand? Because that identity came from the ancestors that are within you. All right? Let's just read a couple texts and we go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, brother Aeneas. I'm with you. I love the black woman, but I do not see all the weave, eyelashes. For short hair, beautiful black woman. Come on, man. We got to get this campaign going now. Let these beautiful black women know that they beautiful in their natural skin. You understand? Now, the caller also said, yes, black women are not the only women who bleach. That's true. I concerned about black women first, okay? Because other people is tell their women how beautiful they are. They have whole pageants, Miss Universe, Miss this, Miss that, Miss Galaxy, whatever, to tell white women they're beautiful. So we got to deal with our women, all right? Let's go back to the phone lines here on Guiding Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Yes, you asked me to call back.
Go ahead, brother. But,
you know, I don't know if the black woman realized that you got white women who trying to look like them, trying to do their hair like them, through the braids and the like.
Of course. When Kim Kardashian and them put in braids, that's be like, oh, right. Wow. When they make when they put stuff in their lips, oh, look at Angelina Jolie lips. Oh, my God. That's the natural lips of the black woman. Go ahead, brother. Right.
But what the black woman is doing, they trying to be their best self, you know, do what they believe, you know, men want them to be.
Yeah. I blame us in part because we do celebrate. Right. The first thing we do, we get some money, you grab a white woman. Now, let me say this. If I spend, while I was broke, if I was with a black woman who was trying to be white, then when I get money, I can just go get the real thing. But that's what these brothers are saying. I ain't agreeing with them, but that's what they're saying.
They good artists. They the band of black women. They doing a great job. But you know, I like to say that men are showing them that they can grow their hair too. Cause men plotting their hair and then growing it long.
We got beards and things.
You know. Mm-hmm. But this corruption thing. You know, we not the most corrupt, but we are corrupt. You understand me? But it ain't so much it's corruption, but what our major problem was even more is what you call it, incompetence. The governments are incompetent, you know, when to the PLPs, you know, the progressive. What is the progressive in that party's, you know,
slogan?
Mm-hmm. What is progressive for me? I know as PLP. You know what I mean? When I used to vote PLP, it meant to me like socially progressive. I mean economically social, socialist. Mm-hmm. That's the progressiveness. Mm-hmm. And the liberal meant human liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? But the progressive liberal party is economically liberal. They're not progressive. Mm-hmm. They're conservative.
You think
know,
so?
I don't know what the liberty is about. I mean,
this is the what they call the silly season. So this is the time to ask these questions, and we can have some shows directed just as that. Yeah.
So we need to you know Richard Wolff, right?
I've heard the name.
Yeah. What about Thomas Sowell?
Yeah, man. I know.
Thomas Sowell. He is a progressive. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? Richard Wolff is a what you call it a socialist.
Mm. Mm.
You understand me? He's you get what you have the left and you have the right. You have progressive and you have conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Richard Wolff is a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Sowell is a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So us in Obama, trust me, all of us are conservative, you know. I call a show today, right? You know what they told me?
Mm.
They told me the what you call it, the Lincoln Band Party believe in tax reform, and I don't know where they get that from.
Did they leave what?
Tax reform. Ain't no party in Obama's platform have no tax reform in them.
Well, like all I say, we can have some shows dedicated to breaking on everybody's platform and what they aim to bring to the Bahamian people. So stick around.
We need a young politician
mm-hmm.
who ain't afraid to be what you call it progressive. I mean, not aggressive, but progressive. I mean, social democratic. That's how Lyndon Payne came to power. You know,
yeah.
Then Lyndon Payne threw the mace out the house. You know, that's
know.
Rebel. You know, he was not afraid. That's how he became the leader. You know,
yeah.
You understand the prime and the first a young prime minister. We need a young politician who ain't afraid to go against the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Who ain't afraid to be a right-wing, a left-wing politician. I mean, economically left-wing and liberal.
True
progressive liberal politician. Thank you, man.
Yeah, my brother. Give thanks. This text is saying, men have it worse. Men have it the worst. If we ugly, that's that. We don't wear makeup and wigs and all that stuff. Fake breasts, body shaping suits. Women do it because they want to. That's true. My brother, if you're ugly, you better have a talent. You better could jump high or run fast or tell jokes. You understand? Or make plenty money. Because definitely, if you're ugly, my Lord help you. Let's see. The only difference between us and other women is it stands out more. A natural kinky hair maintenance is extremely expensive and difficult. We now know Yahshua is not white. Why? Society has to take some responsibility for the 1,000 years of deception. That's true. That's the image of the beast that we was talking about earlier. See, when we talk about corruption, when we talk about the way we dress, the way we function, the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, the opposite of courage is not fear. The opposite of courage is conforming. So we conform to a lot of the standards because, like the previous caller said, in America, she had to wear a wig to go to a job interview because they would not take her seriously if she came with a natural hair. And that's what I said earlier. The image of the beast is so easily accepted because they don't call it beautiful. They call it professional, right? They call it the standard. And so once you buy into that, you are now taught to work against your own self-interest. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Hey, Uncle, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. You know, and breaking down some of the stereotypes, like you said, mm-hmm. I guess in the future, starting from now, whenever, is there some way thou shalt not put razor upon thy head?
Yeah, Leviticus, I think it's Leviticus 19. It talks about marring the corners of your beard. And I'll find it, but go ahead. What's your question?
So, like the lady said, following norms as she went to New York and all the rest of that, we have a lot of bald heads here.
Men or women?
Men.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, we have to look at that too. Because I mean, if we're gonna go as a Christian nation, basically, I know everybody won't follow it, so mm-hmm. We should look at that also instead of like saying that I understand they want to cut all these men locks or dreads and mm-hmm. all the rest of mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. and we're supposed to be following the Bible, but we basically follow the bald head model here.
Well, the reason why, so that's Leviticus 19:27, the Israelites were not to mar or clip off the edges of their beards or the hair on their temples, right? So what happens is you say we are a bald head nation, right? We live in a world, right? In the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, right? It gives a warning to people who, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, right? So a lot of the things that we are told are in our best interest are really not in our best interest. And so if you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it also speaks to this reality by saying that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it seems like the right thing to do because I need to get a job. It seems like the right thing to do because I need to get a husband or a wife. It seems like the right thing to do because society is saying that this is the standard. It seems right, but it leads unto death. The Consumer Reports is saying that the things we're putting in our hair, under our arms, on our skin, have poison in it. One text was very correct by even talking about even in the air that we breathe. They've even put poisonous material in the ocean, right? So what is gonna allow us to break away from this conforming mindset is a renewal of the mind. And to renew the mind means that we have to once again see ourselves in the image and after the likeness of the Most High.
And I think you just summed up what I was about to say, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for the young people who fall in these norms and not being taught anything, I think you're doing a great job, man. That's why I wanted to be a part of this today, because I think somebody's going to really have to open these minds back up, you know, the young people, because some of the old people know it, because they just want to, you know, they follow different patterns. But I think the younger people who are following their parents, who are following this other pattern, thank God for brothers like you, man. You have a nice day,
yes,
man.
Sir. Thank you. Thank the Most High for callers like you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, right, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That renewal of the mind is having the same mentality that the Messiah had when the Messiah walked the earth. The problem we're having is we don't want to accept who that Messiah was. We don't want to accept that the Amen mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, is Tut Ankh Amen or Tut Ankh Amun. Who you calling King Tut 3,500 years ago by some calendars, or 2,000 years ago by other calendars, is the Messiah, the African Messiah, that they don't want you to know about. That same King Tut. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Innes. Hope you're doing well
today. Hey, good afternoon, my brother. Good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I was listening, and, you know, some of the things you're talking about with the universal law and different things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I noticed is that you see a Muslim nation. Mm-hmm. A Muslim nation lives under Muslim law.
Mm-hmm.
They don't live under secular law.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we're supposed to be a Christian nation, but we live under secular laws.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous and crazy when you think about it
in
terms of what outcome do you want. You know what I mean? Because we live in a society where certain things should be illegal, because not everything that is not, just because something is not illegal doesn't mean it's not wrong. Doesn't make it right.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of unethical behavior goes unchecked in our society. You know where I'm coming from?
True.
And a lot of these behaviors lead to social ills and different things. You know what I mean? It's just like the whole law thing is crazy. And like how you were talking about the universal law, if we could respect that at least, you know what I mean? But, you know, but I'm just trying to say how the whole law thing is just, it leads to nothing. You know what I mean? The whole secular law, and it's contradictory how, you know, like we're supposed to be a Christian nation, but we don't live under Christian laws, right? But, brother, one thing I want to touch on, two things. Like, you, like, again, like when you were talking about the leaders and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Our leaders chosen from a phone book or a raffle. You understand? They campaign for these things.
It ain't like jury duty.
No. You understand? They campaign for these things.
Yeah.
They fight for these things. They sacrifice to these things, and they tell us that they're going to go in there to make our lives better.
Yeah.
Everything rises and falls on leadership, brother.
Yeah, I agree.
You understand? So they are the ones who we need to be tough on. As a matter of fact, we're not being tough enough on them, and that's why they are the way they are.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming from? But you can't choose to or volunteer and put yourself out there to lead people, and then when things go wrong, you know, there's no accountability. You understand
what
I mean? Just look at the game that our government plays with us. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, another thing, too, is like, when you were talking about, when you mentioned the beast in Revelation,
right,
with the seven heads, the 10 horns, and the 10 crowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that if you go to the average Christian, who've been to church probably 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, they don't even know what that is.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy how that's one book.
Right.
You know what I mean? You had one book, you've been going to church almost every Sunday, one book for 20, 30, 40 years, and you have no idea what Revelation talking about. I mean, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from? One book, brother. One thing, think about one book.
Yeah.
But the Jehovah's Witness has a book called Revelation is the Grand Climax at Hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big red book. Jehovah's Witness need to step up. Because I tell them before, when they knock on my door, because since I read that book, whenever they knock on my door, they stop coming to my door. Nah, I know what happened. But when they knock on my door, I ask them about that beast. And how, because, see, is the reason why one head has two crowns. It's seven heads, but it's 10 horns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Three of the heads has two horns,
mm-hmm.
and it means that it's two nations ruling in unison.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, it shows you how that the seven heads represents the seven oppressive empires that were over God's people from the Bible: Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greco-Roman. And whenever it's like Greco-Roman or Medo-Persia, that's an indication. That's why it's two heads, two horns on one head. It's two nations ruling in unison with one mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in that big red book, it identified one of those heads as Anglo-Saxon Unification, which is America and England. I asked Jehovah's Witness people when they knock on my door why they ain't talking about me with that, because, you know, our leaders still swear to one horn, you know what I mean? And the other horn, America, is such an influential part in our lives. So why is it that when they knock on my door, they're not talking to me about this thing?
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from? Because I had to read this myself.
Right.
You see, so we need to talk more about that, too. But Also, too, like, you see, in our time, brother, if an individual wants to lead us, right, and they are not speaking things that are controversial, you know what I mean, to the point where their life might be in danger, because if you truly want to change the system, you have to be able to find coming from anyone who wants to lead us and represent us. If they are not saying things that completely threatens the system of things, they are a joke. You understand? Any leader who truly wants to represent you and bring change has to be willing to die. Mm. And anybody, you can't show me one person in our society who is speaking at that level. You understand where I come from, my brother?
I hear you.
You know what I mean? And one tool I want to touch on quick, because since you said a open line thing. And one of the things, too, that I was thinking how, because all these things going on, I was thinking how this society is a real joke. You know, because, like, when you read, I think it's Leviticus in the Old Testament, how it talks about the laws concerning, like, illness and different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever someone had a blemish, they were sent out of the camp for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then they come back after a week or so, and then they were examined, and mm-hmm. if they were, you know, cured, they come in, and then, you know, if not, they go back again and one or two more times, and if they don't heal up, then they can't come in anymore.
You get banished, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so I thought about it, and I was like, well, you know, well, how is it then that back then, during the AIDS crisis, right, if an individual has a disease like AIDS, where they could go into society where individuals don't have that responsibility of thinking, where they say, you know, something, I'm going to, your mindset, you know what, I can't as much people as I can with me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So why is it that you would free someone and allow them to go back into society with a disease that back then was more or less 100% fatal? Why didn't you isolate that individual from society so that they would not spread that disease around? And I said to myself, it's because they were joking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the last thing about the two is that I saw recently that the AI,
mm-hmm.
and because I haven't used AI yet, to right. be honest with you, because I don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just feel as if, you know, that's, you know, artificial.
You don't Google stuff?
I mean, Google. Yeah. When I say AI, but I'm talking about on the level that, because we weren't calling Google AI before AI became AI, right?
They have a Google component now on Google.
AI
component on Google.
I just go to the search bar, type in what I want, and I look at it. I mean, that's what you're talking about. I just go straight to the regular thing. I don't use any, whatever the case may be.
But I understand what you're saying.
You see, but the thing about it is that what they want is that they want us to live in a world where we don't even know what's real from fake anymore.
Right. We just
don't understand where I'm coming from. Yeah. Again, it's getting to that point right now. So that means that institutions, right, will begin to demand that you prove that because of the advancement of the AI technology.
But they doing that now. Are you a robot?
I didn't hear you.
They doing that now. Are you a robot?
Yeah.
Click on the bus.
So it's going to force us, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're using AI to cause that much confusion and doubt among the public that it will warrant, right, institutions saying that, you know what, AI is a problem now. So since AI is such a problem now, we need everyone to be able to verify that they are not AI.
Mm.
You understand? And then that comes with this ID thing that they're trying to bring in now. All over the place, you're talking about this, Jamaica talking about NIDS, National Identification Card, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You understand where I come from, my brother?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the only thing I'm saying is that in this country, brother, we talk about the same things over and over again, right? And we don't talk about the things that really have an impact on what's going on. People are afraid to talk about it.
Mm.
You understand? Oh, and I mean, I don't know what happened, but I looked for your last show of 2025, and I mean, I don't know if it's intentional oversight or whatever, but they didn't post it.
I'll look, the 29th?
But your last show up for the year.
The 29th, I think that was December 29th.
I think, but whichever, I think
whatever the last show was, I think I found. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you if I find it.
All right. Yeah. I just need to talk about the things that really cause it. Like the leaders, like you say before, but I disagree when you say we can't really be hard on them. As a matter of fact, I feel as if we're not hard enough on them.
How would we be hard on the leaders? I got some more calls behind you, but just quickly, how would we be hard on them?
Okay, for one, my major thing is to end the secrecy of cabinet.
Mm.
All right? And the secrecy of cabinet. Like cabinet be like the regular House of Assembly. Seeing that cabinet is where all the major decisions take place and where all the reasoning take place, I want to see what goes on in there. I mean, they be fighting and anything. I want to know what's going on in there.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming from? So end the sworn secrecy in cabinet, because that's absolutely ridiculous.
Mm.
Thank you, brother.
All right, my brother. So, a lot of good points. I don't know if that'll ever happen. I think national security is one of the main reasons why they would keep it a secret. But I understand the essence of what you're talking about, which is why we talk about a fully enacted Freedom of Information Act. This text says, Uncle, if the Progressive Liberal Party, if the Progressive Liberal being progressive, so why are you trying to blame the PLP for being conservative? Which I disagree, because the PLP ain't acting like no conservative either, because I don't see it. It's just them. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Call you live.
Hey, what's it all?
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Let the topic concerning the beauty of the women, man.
Yeah. So you on the campaign now. You got to tell every natural woman, you got to say, hey, see my sister. No, and be respectful now, because she with a man or something.
Man,
you know?
No,
but
man,
just say, sister, man, I love to hear, man.
How I look at the women them with the natural beauty.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Any woman who there would listen in to us.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respect your God-given natural beauty, you just messing up your face when you put them makeup on. You ever see them jungle costume, dark?
Yeah.
You ever see them when they get wet?
Ah, oh, Lord.
Huh?
Yes, I have.
Just ask it. You ever see them when they get wet?
Yeah.
Okay.
What you say?
If you see a woman put on makeup,
mm-hmm.
and when they go to bed in the night and wake up the next morning,
Doc,
if you see them, listen to me. I don't know why.
Who you is?
Are you serious?
Wow.
I get some cousins them.
Mm-hmm.
Ma, when they go to bed, they make up one and wake up the next morning.
My
I tell them, go look in the mirror. When they look in the mirror, man, listen to me. Doc, I love a woman with natural hair,
mm-hmm.
natural
Me too.
Beauty, natural
yeah,
face.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what God gives. And they be so beautiful.
Yes.
But yeah. I don't know why some women just go and put their makeup on.
Listen,
I believe if they doing that just for man to drag them, I don't think the nigga love your natural beauty
no.
then.
No,
he just
can't.
Love your makeup. Yeah. So when your makeup off, what do you fall in love with?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear
so
you, brother.
Talk. I like the lady with the been on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought she was American.
Yeah,
but she's a Bahamian.
Yeah, she's Bahamian, yeah. Yeah.
Man, and listen, they got to be real.
Yeah.
That's your natural God-given beauty.
Yeah, babe.
They don't know their beauty is the glory of God.
Come on now. The image and the likeness.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
A woman's beauty shows the glory of God on them.
My Lord.
And there's nothing beautiful in God's glory.
Amen.
So at the end of the day, my brother, I wish this is a topic you would have been talking about for the next month or so. Cause just what
we can bring it back up. There's different aspects of this, you know, because one of the shows I want to have is where they're getting the hairs from. There's a temple in one of the Indian provinces where they go to shed their hair. And when they shed their hair, it is to shed all of the impurities in their life, spiritually and otherwise, right? So they shave, let's say their husband is a drunkard and their children doing bad in school, and they'll cut their hair and they'll say, this energy is trapped in me, and they'll cut their hair. And that hair with all the energy in, that's what they're selling to our women.
Right.
So that's, right. I can touch it.
And
I can
then
touch
some
it.
Of them, is somebody call it but horse weave.
Yeah.
Horse hair.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Doc, we need to educate our women now.
And the men, because the men telling the women to put on the fake stuff.
And then you got some men doing the same dumbness too.
Listen, I can say this one thing. I got a whole show on this, but these men who dancing with these choreographed girls and drunken, please, they need to get them out of there. Because one of the most beautiful things in this world is to see a Bahamian woman. A black Bahamian woman dancing Jonkanu. And man, that's be eye candy. You watching the eye candy and then boom, this dude whining. No man, you can't do that to me. You
exactly.
can't put these fellas on Bay Street
exactly.
with these women, man. Move them out the way, please. No man in choreographed dancing.
I don't know when they start that.
I know either.
It
but Lord, please
women.
don't bring it back to Bay Street. Please. That's a whole nother show. Thanks for calling, man.
You're my brother. You'll be blessed, man.
You too, brother.
Yeah.
323-622-3254-316-325-4259. In the family of violence, 242-300-5720. We got to run to a break. Back after this.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call, see a call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
City of Miami Gardens presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, LMA, Maya, Joe, Nice and Fresh, featuring SWV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, the Isley Brothers, L. DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and so many more. March 7th and 8th, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. JazzinTheGardens.com.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. For big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today with your host, Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. It is my pleasure to be with you. I got about less than 15 minutes left in the show. But we started talking about corruption, right? And we haven't really veered off topic, because when we talk about self-hate, that is a form of corruption. That is a form of psychological warfare that we have constantly been under, especially black people. Now, I know you say, yeah, but, you know, other people around the world are bleaching too. And that's because racism, white supremacy is global. It's a global system, okay? It's a caste system that ultimately has affected us for the last, some would say 400, some would say even 6,000, up to 6,000 years. When you talk about those seven heads, right? Yes, in Revelation it talks about seven. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land of whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. These Amorites, as I have said over and over again, and I'll keep bringing it up, because if you don't understand what's going on right now in the world, this should help you to appreciate a little better what's going on. In the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The way America became great, the way Europe became great, right? The way these nations, who are the strongest economic forces on the planet, became great, is through slavery. And that's what they're trying to bring back up again. All right? There was a time when they would go and snatch us out of Africa and put us in different places. They've reversed the roles of how they enslave us now. Now they trap us into markets that now captive audiences for their products. So in the Bahamas, we're bringing in a billion items every year, okay, as a part of the slave economy. It's still a slave economy. We're still slaves, but they just reversed it, right? That's a whole other show, but I just wanted to say that based on the conversation I was having earlier before the break. All right, let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Hi, Gowan.
How you doing? How you doing? Namaste.
I'm good. I'm good. I like listening to your show. I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you.
There are three things I need to talk. The first one is I am happy that the Commissioner of Police was able to speak out in regard to the broad paintbrush of corruption on our Bahamas.
Yeah.
Because I think the most corrupt country is the one from which we are hearing all the propaganda. Okay?
Yeah.
So our, their cattle shouldn't be calling our pot black.
My Lord. We tied with them. We tied with them on the corruption list.
No. You can't say that.
No, no. I'm just telling you what they said in their index. We're 28th in the world along with them. And what they say. I'm just putting it out there. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, but their population, one fraction of that cover the whole of the Bahamas.
Of course. Dade County bigger than the Bahamas.
I'm not saying equal.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, so man. Listen.
They are in no position to call the Bahamas corrupt.
Right.
The next thing is, I personally feel that the commissioner took too long to speak. All right? She should have addressed that. She should have addressed it that long time from its first announcement. Okay?
Right.
So that's my take on that.
Yeah.
And the next thing I was talking about was these people bleaching themselves and nonsense. I don't even like to look at them.
My Lord.
Yeah, I don't like to look at them
because
it don't make sense. When I see them, Laura. Eyelashes. I said, no, on this eyelash so long, I could sit on this and let them talk me around on it. Bunch of foolishness. They look so unreal.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
No.
But one thing I would like for the commissioner to probably put some policy in place and get a hold on these police officers, especially arresting officers.
Not showing up to court.
Not showing up to court and then forcing the judge to have to drop matters.
Wow.
Now that was printed in the papers
this
same month, about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, how is it this commissioner can't get these officers to show up?
Boy, listen.
The matter was no arresting officers showed up to the court.
Wow.
What did he for the judge to do?
Right. The judge can't do nothing. Right.
And that sounds so disgusting. That never should have been. So going forward, because we the state officers every month, I'd like the commissioner to put in place where officers who don't show up to the court and causing the matters before the court look terrible, I would like for them to insist that those police officers be responsible for paying court costs, lawyer costs,
my Lord,
and pay out the family who were judged. So if they can't show up and be paying them, then let them pay society and the judge and the costs and the family. It ain't right.
Yeah. Wow.
You understand?
That's...
If somebody there is accused of something, they are innocent until they go through the process and found innocent.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But my problem comes in when you would have gone so far waiting for a final answer, and then the answer comes that
the case gets thrown.
Dropped the matter because none of the arresting officers showed up.
It does. It does. I got another call. I'm trying to squeeze in. I do appreciate your comments, though. And I thank you so much. Caller, you're live here on Guardian Radio today.
Hi, Afternoon, Uncle.
Good afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'll try not to take as long as the previous caller, but let me just say this. One thing that she said is so important, and that is when you're going through the court process, you know, if the officer does not show up to that case, then the case is postponed for another time.
Mm-hmm.
However, the judge also finds it prudent if the accused does not show up or witness does not show up, then they render what is called a warrant.
Bench warrant.
And sometimes serving jury duty, I've seen that happen on the first instance, not even a second or third occurrence.
Okay.
So that is a problem for a lot of persons who are serving. Also, perhaps one of the reasons why a lot of people do not like serving jury duty because they find it to be a waste of time, even though it is considered doing your patriotic or your national duty. So that is something that needs to be looked into. The reason why I really called Uncle is this. You know, we turn around, we talk about it. It's really amazing how some people find it really satisfying to use the term, you know, when it comes down to with our system of governance, the Westminster system.
Yes.
When they find that they use a Westminster system for their cause, but then for other cause, they don't want to apply it. The thing is, a lot of Bahamians want us to move from the Westminster system for various reasons, and they want a republic system.
Right.
Now, numerous political party governments have heard the people even talk about the move to go to a republic, but we don't hear it coming from them at all. It's like it's non-existent. When is the voice of the people actually going to be taken serious and these things really be serious and brought to the public so we can determine which direction that we would like to go in. Barbados has done an excellent
right.
And, you know, you have to praise persons like Mia Motley for the work that she has done.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with our people here in this country? Westminster works in some instances for their advantage, but for the rest of us, it doesn't. My last closing point is this. The Treasury, in terms of the Consolidated Fund, is also one of those bone of contention. Well, we collect all these taxes and put all the monies in the Consolidated Fund, but yet we collect a lot of taxes in roads, licensing and inspections and stuff. Mm-hmm. But look at the condition of the roads.
Yep.
When are we going to change and allocate, find a system where we can allocate these things into different categories where the monies that are collected as a direct or byproduct of what it is that we're doing, that we're able to use those monies to do things instead of putting all the money in Consolidated Fund to pay salaries and all these things. That's all I want to say on this point.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, indeed. So much to talk about with such little time. This text says, this feels like bashing women day. We have enough stress raising grown men and children alone. Maybe men should be more focused on taking care of their families. You enhance your smell and we enhance our looks because men are physical creatures. By the way, married men don't need to worry about other women. So this has definitely not been that texter. We're not trying to bash women either. Married men have sisters and mothers and aunties as well. And tomorrow we can be talking about relationships. And the fact that this point may come up, I don't know, but it's like 15,000 less men, 20,000 less men than women. So some married men gonna have to check on some other women. You may not like to hear that, but biblically, you know, the children of Israel came out of a family with one man and four women. All right. So tomorrow we can be talking love, lies, and liberation with Dr. AJ Varma. Keep it locked here. On 96.9 Guardian Radio. Talking Heads is up next. Naughty and Mary Jane is up. I'll be back tomorrow, most high willing. You take care, the Mastu family.